Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yay. Anyway. Alright, so part two of an interview with Benatar regarding antinatalism. Okay. Some argument about whether it's a good idea to increase or decrease human population, when it seems obvious the good answer is decrease, just for so many human reasons, let alone what effect it has in terms of humans on the environment. So I could parallel this to an analogy I use a lot, which is, say, if it was your decision. And so there's malaria, and it's not a good thing. Millions of people affected by it. Caused much grief, okay, in the present and the near future. And the idea is do you spend the money trying to find a cure that won't do the current victims any good, or but will do the future a lot of good if you find it, or do you spend the money on nets and, you know, whatever, DDT or some other mechanism that has less certain but what certainly helps mitigate the current generation's problem. But it's marginal and it has no hope of curing the disease. So an argument like that. And so this question of whether humans should, there should be more humans because they somehow cause there to be less animals, isn't even a certainty. So we're not talking about a net which is actually effective. We're talking about a net with holes in it, that might be completely ineffective at actually causing less harm in the present. So it could be argued that every time we sterilize a portion of nature, we end up displacing organisms and maybe cause them to have shorter lifespans, and that's go through the life death process more often. We don't enhance, we actually harm, in the sense that, if you shorten the lifespan of, say, an animal like a deer, and they have more babies, they accelerate their reproduction, then you didn't do the deer as much of a favor, right? Because they're going to have to live and die more often, more times. So you could argue that there's all kinds of disruptions you create in the environment that just cause a lot of grief for the organisms because their evolutionary mechanism goes into overdrive and they excessively populate and all of that stuff and create like the lemming problem, where the organisms are compelled to do anything to get away and jump off cliffs and do all kinds of things that harm themselves. But anyway, so it's an open question whether this even matters, whether there's even any good theory to the net solution, which is the short-term solution, which says let's screw up the environment and make more people so they screw up the environment. It's just such a weak argument. So anyway, so Benatar is responding to that at the point where I've left off, I believe.
Can do is evaluate the argument itself. Mm-hmm. And you're right, I do think that arguments of that kind amount to sophistry. Mm. And for the reasons that I've mentioned. If, for example, you are a vegan and you now think you ought to have more children because that's a good way to drive down the wild animal population, well, you could do it both ways. You could not have a child and thereby preventing the suffering of the child you would create, while at the same time beginning to eat meat and engage in other environmentally destructive things in order to reduce the wild animal population. So it's not obvious that if you really want to introduce these...
Well, look, and it's also, you have to say that if you spend your time raising your kids to be monsters, why don't you just spend your time trying to influence other people's kids to be monsters? Be greedy, capitalist, do whatever you can to create chaos and destroy the world, whatever the fuck their plan is. It's just as easy to influence, as it is to create your own little monsters. You can program other people's monsters to be assholes. So.
Long and complex.
I mean, obviously you have to spend a lot of resources to raise your own. So it might be better just to, you know, find all the poor people in the world and spend your money on them, and then they'll be conducive to listening to your philosophy and accepting what you believe, and you can, you know, gain yourself some cult members, so to speak, you know, by indoctrinating the desperate.
A causal process is to bring about fewer wild animals. That the way to do that is by having children. Yes, the number of people on the planet is a variable, but it's not the only variable.
There you go. You know, and it's an insanely complex, really, when you start talking about ecosystems and where you can screw around with the ecosystem and create some sort of, you know, if it was easy, then we wouldn't have mosquitoes. You know, it's obviously complicated.
And it's also very unlikely that you're having a child. In other words, one solitary additional person is going to have the kind of impact that argument assumes.
Well, obviously it wouldn't be just one, because the people advocating are saying that, yes, we should do. But it's like the people who advocate for a race war, you know, like somehow whitey has to increase its population to keep up with the, you know, the other colors. And it's just, you know, it doesn't go anywhere but stupid. It doesn't have any end game. So again, the argument is, from my perspective, we're having an argument about how we deal with malaria, and we're just talking really about the blight of existence, and that's the disease, is, you know, consciousness left in jeopardy. And the fact is, and the long-term solution is the cure, is the eradication of the problem. Don't make a mess. They don't have to clean up a mess. And all the other answers are leave the problem existing and just create who knows how many decades or centuries or millennia of useless and pointless suffering. So, yes, all the other solutions suck. The cure is the only thing to invest in.
Are you going to have?
Yeah.
So it's a clever sounding argument, but I don't think it's a wise argument. This is a distinction I've drawn before between being clever and being wise.
Do you?
Yes. Well, that's a little bit too mushy, you know. But obviously, all you can do is argue. It's a case. You're trying to convict. So you're trying to push the argument beyond reasonable doubt and say, look, this is the reasonable circumstance wherein do you think, you know, even if you put all the sentient brains in an AI, that you could control that. You know, that the idea that you'd have to invent the hunger still and the thirst, you still have to make people want and desire. And you're going to have to do that through deprivation. So none of this actually adds up if you really talk it through. And that's the real problem, is it takes time to go through all of these little minutiae arguments and you know, complete the trial of the evidence. And the argument, from my perspective, isn't that complicated, in the sense that it's evolution, it's a replicating DNA molecule, it clearly doesn't care. There's nothing built into the system that has anything to do with reason or purpose or function. We don't cure any problem, just like the Martians existing would not fix anything, it would only break Martians. And you'd only torture Martians, and you wouldn't accomplish anything that needs to be accomplished.
I think that there would be more animals in a city space if we didn't build. Let's take London or New York, for example.
Well, what's the number of rats, for example, and mice, right? I mean, these are very conscious, very sentient looking organisms. It'd be hard to make the argument that they aren't passionate and emotional and all of that stuff, clearly very consciously active organisms. And, you know, we end up creating environments that they thrive in, you know.
Do you agree that there would be more wild animals in that city space if London or New York wasn't built? Or do you think it would just be about the same? For example, because, you know, in any city there's tons of, you know, rats and foxes and squirrels and stuff. They're all...
I don't think every city has a ton of foxes. Okay, maybe squirrels, a lot of squirrels, but, you know, foxes, I don't think so. They don't do too well with traffic, you know.
going around. Or do you agree with the kind of natalist vegan argument that actually in a city space there would be more wild animals suffering in that city space area?
So this is the minutia, right? So this is just this is sort of a waste of time argument. You know, it really doesn't get to the core subject, which is what's the end game? Where do you want to be 1,000 years from now? Because that's the thing that's going to endure for forever, potentially. What do you want to be the forever condition? And so the argument, in my opinion, is the simple argument that, yes, the forever solution is the non-existence of sentience, because it doesn't serve a function and it's very expensive in terms of all the extra torture you create for no accomplishment. So, it's just back to the argument that the argument should be about what is the overall consequence of a plan in the longest term imaginable. And that's the only way to really fairly judge any action, is to judge it based on what the long term, over the whole story, what's the effect.
There'd probably be more wild animals, but there'd also probably be fewer of what we call liminal animals, which are animals that inhabit the space between the domestic and the wild. And some of the animals that you've referred to, like rats, would be liminal animals. Mm. Now, of course, you could have a wild rat. There are wild rats, but the high rat population in places like New York is at least partly attributable to the large human population and the ample supply of food.
Well, yeah, this is another kind of distinction. Does it really matter? Clearly, the rats are evolved to the city. So, you know, they grow a different size. They have different behaviors. They have different physical attributes because they're evolving to the niche we create. So they become different than the native population they started as.
That humans provide, and also the absence of other kinds of predators. So to the extent that there are fewer, let's say, wild bird predators in New York, there'll be fewer animals of that kind predating on the liminal rats. And this, again, is why I think these are impossible calculations to do. Do you think you're going to know what the net number of sentient animals is, whether it's wild or liminal? These are sort of impossible calculations, and I don't think that we ought to be engaging, as I said before, in harmful activities on the supposition that this will cause less suffering in the long run, when we don't have good reason for thinking that's the case.
And again, it's just an evasion of the real subject, which is, well, obviously creating a bunch of chaos isn't a permanent condition, so it's of no value as a permanent condition. And it's not going to fix the problem. It's not even a good Band-Aid. So even if you could make Band-Aids forever, the wounds are going to outnumber your Band-Aids. It's going to be too expensive. It's going to be, you just haven't accomplished anything.
Interesting. And I think the key bit they're missing here, that just seems like a huge missight, is that humans are the only species that actually mass breeds other species. So people talk about, is there more suffering in a city space than an area of wild land, whatever. Well, they're forgetting these concentration camp factory farms and slaughterhouses.
Well, and all the peripheral stuff that's outside the city. So yes, all the stuff, all the food and maintenance stuff that has to be built outside of the city, that also is creating these false environments that are full of, you know, the puppy farm, you know, might not be in the city, but anyway.
And stuff where humans are breeding billions of animals every single year worldwide into. So could there be the argument that actually in a city space, in an area of human civilization, not only are those species that you mentioned, like rats and stuff, more populous, But also there you have to account for the billions of farmed animals. So could it be the case?
And that's the thing, farms, you know, there's a picture from some Australian farm where, you know, mice took over, and there's swarms of them. There's just millions of them going in different places, you know, basically got to the food bins and just reproduced insanely. And it's just, you know, you just, it's a sea of rodents. And they're swarming just like birds, just an amazing sight.
That human existence actually creates more animal life than there otherwise would be if we didn't exist.
Again, that's a calculation that is almost impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to be asking ourselves is it right to be creating animals, killing them prematurely?
Will chaos work as a solution? No, chaos isn't the solution. The solution is an on-purpose directed course, all right, towards the cure. The cure has a certain stages you have to go through. You got to put the stuff in the beaker and pour it in the test tube and do the certain little things to create this mechanism that will ensure a complete and final solution, so to speak. And that's what you're after. And that's going to happen through a bunch of disciplined steps, not chaotic steps.
Early and eating them. And I think that the answer to that question is no. And it doesn't really matter which ethical theory you want to employ, because the most plausible versions of all the theories are going to suggest that that's wrong to do. If somebody comes along and wants to offer a kind of consequentialist argument, whereby they say, well, in the very long run, it's actually going to produce better results.
Those are the only arguments to pay any attention to, or the long run arguments. So yes, make those kind of arguments. Explain how in the long run some kind of thing is going to be viable. Now, you could argue that virtual reality. Okay, a well-constructed virtual reality could, you know, create a very nice existence for anything placed in it, okay? And it would be very cheap to run in a lot of ways, because you don't have to build any buildings and you don't have to build any infrastructure and blah, 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 blah. And you could have all these little consciousnesses have their little adventures. But again, it's very hard to understand what ideal would be, because ideal would just end up being programmed. It would just be completely controlled, because any lack of control would be dangerous. So everybody would live their little Red Riding Hood story life, and it would be, you know, it would be without any of the nuance or interestingness of creation in the sense of innovation or productive evolution. It just would be a static, redundant reiteration of a speech or a play. You just do it over and over again for no really good reason.
Less bad results. That, as I said before, I think is just overconfidence. Think back to the human example. So let's imagine somebody says, well, I could actually save all future human suffering by eliminating all humans in the world. And so I should engage in the species side of killing all humans.
So that's, you know, this is the decisive argument. So he's leading up to it. So obviously Benatar has stated in the, you know, second page of his book, everything he's going to say about the human condition would apply to the animal condition. So he already knows that this is about the broader subject of sentience on planet Earth, and that if you're, again, you would have to be called insanely irresponsible if you're the pilot of the plane and you jump out of the plane with your parachute and just leave all the passengers to shit. Yeah, you're not a nice guy. The point is you're not going to do anything useful if you're just going to save one pilot and you're going to let all of the passengers perish.
That's a deeply worrying argument to be making, because you're engaging in mass murder because you believe, without very good evidence that in the long run that will produce less suffering. Remember, well, the human population can spring back from the very small numbers. For most of human history, there were relatively few human beings around. So, and yet we burgeoned from there into our current population.
Yeah, that's why eradication is the only solution. There's you know, you're just leaving a door open to the chaos, breaking the vial and allowing the anthrax to, you know. So, yeah, no, it has to be. It has to be. You have to finish the job. You can't, doing it halfway isn't any way at all. So it's either done well and completely, or everything else is not good enough.
Yeah, so when you were on Amanda's podcast, the Exploring Antinatalism podcast, she asks the question to every guest towards the end, would you press the red button, which wipes out humanity? Would you not press the red button?
Ooh, you know, I just hate that he's not going to be able to just decisively answer this question. That knowing what he knows and knowing what's at stake, trillions, zillions, bazillions of torment and suffering and pain and anguish, that he doesn't say, yeah, it's already built into me instinctively, I have to react to the button. Okay, it's like somebody sticking a gun in my face, I'm going to react, and I know I got to hit it. Okay, I got it. Any glimmer of opportunity to finish this job has to be grabbed, and there's just no imaginable downside risk, okay, in the sense that it's just too big an opportunity. Again, you're sitting across from Hitler and the waiter just put the fork in your hand and your hand just happens to be in just the right position to jab it into his fucking eye. So, I mean, there's just no way you don't take advantage of the opportunity.
I would not press the red button. People have tried to push me on, if you excuse that expression.
So what's the point then? What's the point of writing your book and saying, I believe and I think I can make an argument for, but no, it's really not a good enough argument and it sucks, so don't pay any attention to what I said because it's not a good enough argument. You have no reason to believe it's better never to have been. I wrote the title and it's just a pile of shit. So why don't you just tell us your book's a pile of shit. It doesn't mean anything because it's not a good argument. You know, fuck. It's just, you know, it's just sad that he's such a coward.
This question before, and I've sometimes tried not to answer it.
Yeah, that's all. You've evaded this, the very subject. So it's just sad that you're evading. Yes, there's just nothing pleasant about the facts. Okay, the facts that, like, again, it's like if you could prevent 1,000 rapes by raping somebody. Okay, it's a terrible position to be in. It sucks. It's just horrible. But the fact is, you have to do it. It's logical. So again, he's just denying the logic because he doesn't want to say, okay, I will be a rapist. I will commit an evil because I know, okay, it's the right thing to do. I'm going to be, you know, fixing something. So it's like a doctor has to inject kids with this chemotherapy and all this shit. Now, I would say their logic sucks because, you know, it is about suffering. It's not about dying and all that kind of crap. It's about how you do any of this stuff. So I would say the pain they're causing is wasted. But the fact is the psychological reality is that you can't have goods for free. Nothing's free. And so you got to pay for the solution. And he doesn't want to pay. And the payment is you have to accept that although it's an uncomfortable position to be in and you don't want to play God, that if somebody gives you the power to cure the disease, you've got to take the opportunity and use it, because there's just too much torture at risk. Otherwise, you've left torture on the table. You're the cause of the torture. If you didn't take advantage of your opportunity to stop the war, then you're guilty for everything that happens because you didn't do it.
But I would not. I would not press the red button. I think on some...
So he's had years to think about it, And, you know, he's drawn the conclusion that not pressing the red button is somehow on balance the more rational choice. And the only thing he's preserving is some kind of notion of a social contract. And, well, I didn't wait for the democracy to say it was okay. And, you know, I didn't ask the Inquisition if they thought it was a good idea. I didn't ask the Catholic Church if they thought it was a good idea. You know, I mean, it's just such a bullshit argument to say it after years of contemplating what's at stake. And he's just basically saying, well, fuck it. I guess we'll just have to deal with millennia of zillions of organisms being tortured to death. You know, being tortured to death isn't all that bad, is it? Oh, fuck. So disappointing. So it just shows that this is all academic crap for him. He's doing some sort of logic puzzle. And, you know, his core isn't... he hasn't felt enough of their pain, so to speak. So he hasn't been on the bad side of life enough to say you've got to grab every opportunity you can to stop this from happening over and over and over again. I mean, you really do have to be... To really know some of this stuff, I mean, it's like you have to actually have been in an insane asylum, or you actually have to have been, you know, I mean, you've had to have tasted how really bad it can get, just how awful it can be, you know, how what torture is. You have to kind of know what it is to know, oh, I have to do everything I can to prevent that from happening over and over again.
It'd be a good theoretical reason not to press it, because you engaged in mass murder, and mass murder could be viewed as wrong irrespective of the
context. So again, there's no mass murder here. It's like saying that DDT is mass murder, or any control of any animal population is mass murder. So again, that's just baby talk. The fact is you're doing you're purposefully doing something with the end goal of creating a huge benefit in the prevention of torture. And it's just silly to call that murder, okay? It's silly to call eradicating Hitler murder.
Consequences. But even on a consequentialist view, the idea that you could be supremely confident with justification that your press...
Everything we do is going to affect the future and can have catastrophic results. And we don't have any choice. We can't wait around for perfect information or nothing gets done. I mean, it's just it's so lame for him to argue that somehow we have to have the actual, somebody has to actually show up with the crystal ball, the antimatter entanglement crystal ball that actually will show us the future. And then until we have that, we can't make any decisions.
Pressing this button would eliminate all sentient life and thereby avoid more suffering in the long run.
Not just more. I mean, an insane amount of suffering. An unfathomable amount of negative is prevented.
I don't think any human is justified in making a claim of that kind. Not in any practical situation.
I'm just saying, so you're not going to do any of the trolley stuff. So any circumstance I put you in where there's some sort of uncertain knowledge, you won't use any of the knowledge you have. And if anything requires you to hurt anything at all, to do any negative potential, therefore you can't act. And that's all you're saying. Okay, so if it's put in your hands, the malaria question, should we make nets or should we invest in cures? You'll just walk away and say, I can't make a decision. That's all you're saying. You're a coward.
Yes, because the way I've always viewed the red button, so I've always been someone who said, yes, I would press the red button. But I guess and people would respond such as yourself, you'd say, well, this would be engaging in mass murder. My way of looking at it has always been, it's actually...
So again, was the war against the Japanese mass murder? Did we mass murder the Nazis? I mean, it's just a silly argument. clearly the end result is an improvement in the human condition and the animal condition, in the sense that you've eliminated torture. A huge benefit. Well worth any price paid, frankly.
Way of preventing mass murder. So humans are obviously the species that mass murders by the trillion animals every single year. So it would be, in my view, it's always been the same as, do you kill all the Nazis to save all the Jews?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so it's a done question. I mean, it's just so obviously true that you have to make the decision. And in the simple truth is, this Benatar book is basically just telling you this is the decision you have to make. Okay, there's no prospects here. You have an asymmetry of good and evil, of good and bad. Basically you're just sensing, you're throwing babies in quicksand and then celebrating because they don't drown immediately. And you can torment them for a while. I mean, there's just no positive value to existence, and that's just a fact. The Martians, nobody is grieving. Nobody has this terrible, awful bone pain because there's no fucking Martians, okay? There's no negative thing happening in the universe because there's no fucking Martians. And the same is true when there's no humans or no biological DNA replicating monsters on Earth. The fact is the universe becomes much more peaceful. There's a lot less screaming happening. I mean, it's just, you know, shit. I mean, you have to explain to people their own book. It's pretty sad. You know, it's pretty pitiful. I have to explain his own book to him.
News kind of thing. That would be like the analogy. So I've never seen a moral problem, certainly from that perspective, of pressing the red button, because you'd ultimately be
So really good. I'll give this guy, George, you did a good job, okay? You made it kind of clear. This is a decision human beings have to make all the time, okay? Whether to go to war, what to do, you know, whether it's worth the risk. It happens all the time. You know, how to invest resources and all that stuff, and there's huge things at stake. I mean, if you make the wrong decision, it's, you know, all kinds of bad things are going to happen. And you know, humans have to have the courage to stand up. They got to show up and go fight the Nazis.
Being the horrific stuff that's happening to animals at the hands of humans worldwide, what would you see are the flaws in my view that I've always held about that?
Well, again, I think, first of all, there's a distinction to be drawn between a kind of deontological view and a consequentialist view.
So he's just going to turn it, he's going to mince it into a bunch of jargon. Yeah, okay. So we already know, look, there's only one view, all right? What is in the long-term best interest? Because that's the big thing. The big thing is the future, okay? The present is barely even exists, okay? It's just so tiny. And you can't do anything about the past, okay? The past is done. It's fucked. You can't fix any of that. And you can barely have this little bit you can do in the now, and the rest is all future. So anything you do that fixes the future, that's the winner. And if you're doing something, oh, I made the present a tiny bit better, oh, fuck that. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, in scope, it has no meaning.
And if it's the case that people have a right not to be murdered, then...
So he does it again. Nazis have a right not to be murdered. I mean, that's his argument. Okay, the Nazis had a right not to be murdered. You know, even though they're marching with their guns at us, you know, even though they're murdering, we don't have a right to stop the murderer. You don't even have, you know, so I guess he wouldn't stop a rapist. You know, he wouldn't come to the rescue. He wouldn't save the damsel tied on the railroad tracks. He wouldn't do a damn fucking thing because he's crippled by his inability to make a decision that might have a negative outcome. That there's some possible risk that he misunderstands the circumstance. Okay. And again, his whole book was basically saying, look how obvious this is, how there's this asymmetry, this whole game is fucked. We're all just delusional assholes, you know, living out our ambitions and our addictions, and it's all for nothing. It's waste.
You've got a duty not to murder them, even if you could produce better consequences.
All right, so that's just silly. So even though you produced a better consequence, you saved the woman from being raped, you had no right to stop the rapist. I mean, what the fuck? Wrong answer. Okay, just a too silly an answer. You basically just said it doesn't matter how obvious it is. It doesn't matter how obvious it is that, you know, it's like shooting, you know, they say in the old days with the Indians, if you shot the chief, then you could stop the whole tribe from continuing to attack. You know, I guess that's true of a lot of, you know, I guess they also did that in the Revolutionary War. You know, the colonials started shooting officers, you know, because, yeah, it deterred the British. But anyway, because the officers didn't like that they were getting shot. But whatever. What's the logic here? It's war.
So that's from the deontological view or a rights-based view. If you go for the consequentialist view...
There we go. Okay, the only view that matters. What's the end game? What's the end result? Better or worse?
Then it becomes a kind of practical question as to whether you really have good enough reason.
So again, good enough reason. What's the good enough reason? How bad does it have to get? So how bad does it have to get? How many lion cubs have to die? It's already 10,000 octopuses for one octopus, okay? You kill 10,000 for one of them to reach maturity. Same for sea turtles, same for a lot of stuff. So what, how bad does it have to get before Benatar comes to the rescue? I mean, how awful does the disease have to be before he says, okay, I'll spend some money on a cure. I'll spend some capital on a cure.
For overriding a rule that it would be justified on consequentialist grounds in order to produce what you take to be a greater good, when in fact you don't have good reason for thinking that.
All right, so he just says you don't have good reason. So what does your book say? What does the title say, Better Never to Have Been? Because you don't have good reason to believe that? So again, it's just all a fraud. It's all just academic mush. He just took all the reality out of any statement. Anything he says doesn't mean anything because he basically just said, well, don't take me seriously. I didn't mean that seriously. No, that's just some sort of little, you know, I was telling a Red Riding Hood story and just talking about how, you know, bears don't smoke cigars. I mean, it's not a real story. I mean, too fucking stupid. He's denying his own reasoning in his own book.
It would be that great.
But do we not have good reason to say that it would produce? I mean, it would completely eliminate farming, fishing.
All of that is so tiny. It would completely eliminate 10,000 dead turtles pecked to death. It would end, I mean, all the insects, you go through all the organisms and all the, you know, all the rats, all this terrible, awful grief and harm and horror, all this getting eaten alive thing happening every fucking millisecond that we exist on this planet. I mean, it really is a millisecond. Every, you know, it might be a trillisecond. It might be the volume of horror happening is so dense that you could probably slice it into the tiniest of fractions of time and still find a victim there. A real victim.
Torture and animal abuse.
Think about the practicality of it. I mean, how would you kill all
these? Oh, so look, that's not the point. The point is that the button is the planet evaporates, okay? It's some sort of nuclear, you know, you can make bombs as big as you want. It's some kind of bomb in the center of the Earth. The Earth gets blown to smithereens. Every bit of it gets, you know, 1,000,000 degrees centigrade of sterilization. There's just no way it's coming back, all right? It ain't going to happen. And so he's qualifying that somehow, okay, it's not a red button. It's just a fuck things up button. It's just a chaos button. No, it's the red fucking button. So now he's just playing word games. He's just trolling. What if your red button is sticky? It's got, you know, you didn't use it in a while and the spring doesn't work. And so then it's only an orange button.
Oh, it's just a red button. Like, it's the hypothetical red button. So I press
there. Thank you. Thank you. So another good job of just saying, oh, come on. What are you changing the subject? Come on. It's the red button. It works. You know, it wouldn't exist if it didn't work, okay? It's not some Homer Simpson thing.
The red button, and every human on the planet just vanishes.
Every organism on the planet just vanishes. You should have said, okay, so I'm sorry that you really don't get it, but yeah, it's not about humans.
But what are the conditions under which you know all of these things? See, you're not imagining yourself as a human being pressing the button. There's no human being could be competent of those things. You're imagining yourself as a god.
Oh, so amazing. Just amazing. So what do you think the President of the United States has to do every fucking day? I mean, you know, you're going to decide to blow up some people, and you're going to decide to, well, if they have kids, well, too bad. The kids are going to have to get all burned up. Every day people have to make these decisions. So what the fuck? Every time you go to the grocery store, you're playing God, okay? You're producing another momentum object into the highways that can, you know, end up ruining somebody. Including yourself. So what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, this is just so disappointing. I mean, damn it. Oh, fuck.
So this is a hypothetical scenario for God. It's not a hypothetical scenario for any human being.
So again, these are real, actual things that do happen to people. So he's almost saying like it would be impossible for some soldier to sneak through enemy lines and actually get to Hitler's palace, you know, his chateau, and actually have him in his gun sights. That would be impossible. It couldn't possibly ever happen. Now, it's possible. But whatever, the whole point of the argument is just to show whether you have any commitment to going to war. So if you're saying you won't press the button, you're basically saying, I won't go fight the Nazis. Okay, that's all you're really saying. Don't charge me. Don't make me pay a $10 tax, you know, to defeat the Nazis. Don't ask me for anything. Even some old clothes or something. No, I'm not going to give anything to the cause. I'm useless. Because I can't make any commitment that it's the right answer. So any apprehension is just made out of a weaselly lack of commitment to the actual job of getting done, which needs to get done. You either win the war or it's shit. That's your two choices, shit or winning the war. There's no other choice.
This is exactly the worry that I have. The worry that I have is that people are too optimistic about their own abilities and their own knowledge and their own understanding. And we've had multiple instances of this over human history.
Oh, well, show it the multiple instances where we had any other choice but to act. That you just don't have to. You don't have the luxury of waiting for all the information that's possible to compile before we make a decision whether we're going to cure COVID or whatever, or make a vaccine, or do this, or do that. All these decisions, we should put them all off forever, you know, because, oh, we can't be sure.
History, where, for example, there's some kind of a pest, and so humans introduce a predator in order to control the pest, and then the predator that they introduce becomes a pest of its own.
Right, and how many times does it actually work, though? Exactly the opposite happens. It eradicates the pest. It works pretty good. I mean, you get into this whole, HMO crap or whatever it is, the modified M, whatever it is, whatever, genetically modified stuff, and some of it is fucking goddamn brilliant. Okay, I mean, you put a little bit of a bug virus, you know, into the DNA, and it kills all the stuff that would predate the food, and you just do it. Now you don't have to dump a bunch of pesticides on it, and you can kill it in some sort of natural way, so to speak, that is really quite benign. So it's worked a million times. It fails once in a while. So what's the problem? So he's saying don't make any of those decisions either. It's just such a cop-out.
These are sort of relatively small-scale interventions that people make.
Okay.
And just cause havoc. And humans just don't seem to learn.
All right, so he's just, again, and what, I guess reading your book isn't going to help them learn anything, okay? Learn how to pointlessly waste their time. Waste your time reading a book, making a persuasive argument that life is pointless and incredibly expensive, but ignore the argument because we don't want to do anything about it. At some point in me saying it's disappointing, right? I can just say I'm disappointed. What else is news? Damn. All right, so thought about it for, I don't know, 77 seconds. And, you know, I thought, well, what if I qualify the question? So we have the red button, but do we have the red button in the circumstance where Benatar is, in fact, the last human on Earth, and the red button is just going to gracefully put the animals out of their misery? And let's say Benatar is in space now, and the Earth is separate from him, so he doesn't even have to have himself die with it, okay, even though I think that's the right thing to do, obviously. So it doesn't even kill the Benatar. And all you're really saying is, here's a planet covered in, you know, the smartest thing on the planet is a great white shark or something in the ocean, and the smartest mammal is whatever, an orangutan. And that's it, or elephant or something. And they're going to be sentenced to just do this living thing. Live, die, live, die, live, die, live, die, live, die, live, die, and die in all kinds of horrible ways, mostly attrition to children. So children pay the highest price. They get killed more often than anything else, and are young children, okay? Chased down and eaten alive. Young children, okay. He's still not pressing it? I mean, what qualifications do I have to put on the red button so he feels okay? So it's just human murder that he's against? What exactly is this stupid, silly argument? He's just against violating convention, you know, some notion of some convention, okay, that says this is how, you know, you got to have your pinky out, and, you know, we have to have an election, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, and then you can't act otherwise. You can't defeat the Nazis on your own. You know, you have to join an army and be an official assassin. You know, you can't just do it on your own. Not allowed. Bullshit.
From their own history. They don't seem to learn how bad they are at making these kinds of decisions. And so even on consequentialist grounds, there's very good reason for just saying, look,
so he's saying even the people who write his book aren't smart enough to know what the arguments are and to defeat their own psychological biases. So even though you know your bias exists, you're still incapable of preventing it from controlling you or something. I mean, what is this? It's a junk argument. The whole argument is most of the people opining haven't thought about it for 5 seconds, let alone 5 minutes, let alone 5 hours, let alone 5 days, let alone 5 years. They haven't spent any time considering any of it. And so, yes, them making a decision would be pointless. But that's not the subject. That's not what you wrote the book. You wrote the book to say, look, this is the human condition, and if you think about it for some time, these are the only rational conclusions you can draw.
I'm going to press red buttons. Because to entrust that decision to any human being is deeply unfounded. No human being is going to have the knowledge and the...
Oh, what a pile of crap. Again, we don't have the knowledge to know how to attack malaria or this or that. Of course we know how to attack something. Okay, that's not the hard part. The technical part of winning the war, that's the tough part. All right, the easy part is knowing when to go to war.
The wisdom to be able to make that decision and to press that button.
So what you're essentially saying is, like, let's say, I mean, for example, obviously, one thing that obviously we don't need to be God, so to speak, to know is that humans are the only species that farms animals, right? So obviously I would know that it would eliminate animal farming in that regard instantly. But are you saying that there is a chance that by me pressing this red button and just wiping out the human race?
Yeah, there's some downside risk. What's the downside risk from an intelligent perspective? That the Earth becomes Mars, and Mars is bad. How?
Just like the click of a finger like that. Maybe something worse could happen, and I'm being overconfident in my abilities to judge that it wouldn't. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you might think that pressing that button will eliminate all humans, and it doesn't.
Right, so what? That's not the fuck. Damn. So he says it's not a red button. It's some other color. It's a, you know, a silly button. It's a Homer Simpson button. It's a button that doesn't work. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that was the thought experiment. It's a button that doesn't work. It just turns on the dishwasher. Oh. I mean, so how many catch-22s are you going to invent, Benatar, to evade answering the simple question? What's the downside risk, Benatar? From your intellectual perspective, what's the downside risk? God will be angry? What is it? God will be angry, right? That's your, oh, what if we did? What if there is a God and we offended him? Yeah, so we go to hell like everybody else. So what else is news? You were going to hell anyway, okay? So it doesn't matter. Do you think you weren't going to hell anyway? Oh, so what did you lose? Oh, that's right. You couldn't possibly lose anything because you were already, your seat was already with your name on it and everything in hell. So you were already fucked. It's just hilarious. I was thinking about something, you know, I mean, somebody mentioned in some stupid thing, a radio show or something, the Kennedy assassination and Jack Ruby. And, you know, I didn't realize how, you know, he died of lung cancer. And I was thinking maybe he knew he had lung cancer before he shot. You know, it makes you a lot. When you have nothing to lose, right, then, oh, yeah, well, I might as well go assassinate somebody before I die. You know, so he's just trying to say, well, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well do something good for the world and I'll kill this, you know, this Kennedy killer for the world. You know, I'll do them the favor. So yeah, it does make people a lot more dangerous when they have nothing to lose. So yeah, offending God isn't going to scare me any, Mr. Benatar. Let me just tell you all, right up front, offending God is not going to scare me. It's not going to stop me from doing something because it might offend God. Because God's already got fuck you written all over me. That's hilarious.
Oh, let's just say, for the sake of the hypothetical that it does, but let's just say that is what happens.
Yes, it's a working red button, okay? For the sake of the hypothetical, let's pretend it actually is a working red button. Yeah, okay. You know, it doesn't turn on the wife's vibrator. No, it actually does blow the planet into a million little tiny pieces. Well, a billion trillion.
But that's the question that the human faces as to whether they know they're in that situation or not. If you're a human...
Let's say there, you know, like somebody lets some ants loose, okay? Five ants that carry the plague, you know, a super plague, you know, that kills people over... Like, it takes a year for them to die, and it's just horrible and miserable and the worst thing possible, and it's these stupid little five ants. I'm going to start killing anything that looks like an ant. It's dead, okay? Because it's worth the price. Because I don't want to let any of these ants escape, right? So any ant leaving the property is, you know, it just has to be anything close to. All right, so I'm not going to bother squishing a carpenter ant. But maybe some other bug could even look like an ant, all right? I'm just seeing a glimmer of movement in some cases. I have to smash it, right? I have to do it. I got no choice. The stakes are way too high to be impotent and to do nothing and to sit there and say, well, I got to wait and have a trial for the ant. Were you actually one of those ants? Did I have a good reason to believe you look like one of those? No, none of that crap is going to mean anything to anybody who wants to get the job done. And so obviously Benatar really doesn't want to get the job done.
Are you faced with this decision? One thing you've got to fact in is I'm a human being. So how do I know that pressing this red button is going to have that consequence? Did somebody tell me?
So he says it again, okay? He just keeps sitting there and re-qualifying the facts and saying that somehow, well, we don't have any confidence that it's a red button. I mean, that's not the thought experiment. The thought experiment is that it's been tried 7 million times on all kinds of other planets, always worked. Okay, it's like, the most reliable invention ever invented, in the sense that it just works and works and works and works and works, and none of them have ever failed, and it has a zero failure rate. Okay, it always works. It always does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Did I wire this up myself in some way? How do I know that?
Oh, no, it's obviously not a real scenario that has any kind of...
Well, look, even if it were true, like, even if we were going to start a nuclear war and we were going to launch our first nuclear missile, well, what if it doesn't blow up? Oh, boy, are we ever in shit trouble, because it won't blow up their nuclear bomb, and so their nuclear bomb will blow us up. Is that what if going to stop you from doing it? I mean, no, it's not going to stop you if you know this is the only strategy for winning. It's not going to stop you. You're not going to sit there and not charge with your gun because you're going to imagine your gun doesn't work. I mean, this is just so stupid. You know, you're not going to get in your car and drive to the railroad tracks to save the damsel in distress because, oh, my car might not start. So I'll just give up now because my car might not start.
Kind of, it's just for the sake of the hypothetical, we do know for a fact, like, it's just, that is that's in the hypothetical already, so it's not something
that
we can
change.
Yes, but
you also know for a fact that you're a human.
I mean, just again, what is the point of pointing out that human beings are flawed? Yes, the whole point of you being an intellectual, of writing a book, is to say we can understand our limitations, okay, and we can rise above religion and dogma and nonsense and hype and confirmation bias and all of this nonsense, and actually make rational choices. So again, and you don't really have a choice. I mean, God damn it, you don't have the time to sit around and wait for perfect knowledge. So this whole argument is so fucking lame that he's not going to make the decision until he has the crystal ball that's guaranteed to tell him exactly what's going to happen a billion years from now. I mean, what a lame pile of shit.
And you know that you're fallible. You know that you could be getting it wrong. And one of the things you could be getting wrong is whether pushing the button is going to have precisely the effect that you think it's going to have.
I mean, he's really lost. I didn't think his answer, I thought he would just slough it over and say, well, I'm not prepared to make that decision. Some kind of crap. But to sit there and say that nobody is in a position to make that decision, nobody has the right, he's saying, or claiming, to do the right thing, because you can't know it's the right thing. So don't do anything. Don't give to a charity, don't not give to a charity, don't vote for, don't vote against, don't do a goddamn thing because you don't have perfect knowledge. I mean, it's a silly argument.
Okay, let me adjust the hypothetical and let me say that you are now Lord Benatar, the superhuman, and you just do possess this, insane knowledge that pressing this red button would be a net good because, it's going to end the mass murder.
All right, so I'll give this guy credit again, because I don't know if he knew Benatar wasn't going to answer this question, but yes, good. You're trying to, he's almost done what I did. It took me 77 seconds to figure out, well, what if I just separate you from the decision? And the decision is you're just going to sanitize a planet called Earth, and it doesn't have any humans on it with any social contracts. What do you do then, fucktard?
The massacre of these trillions of animals every single year. You're not a human. You are now superhuman in this hypothetical who has godlike powers. Would there now be a problem with pressing this red button and wiping out the human race?
You know, when you say superhuman and godlike, are you willing to go all the way and say have all the attributes of God?
Oh, fuck. No, the only attribute is the machine has a perfect simulator, and it has calculated that sanitizing the planet has no... it will work. It actually accomplishes the task, and there's no downside effect. There's nobody, a piece of the earth doesn't fly into God's eye and cause an infection, or there's no downside risk at all. Nothing is, no, No sentient is put at higher jeopardy because of the act.
Because this is occupying some intermediate space, so you're not infallible, you're not omniscient, you're not...
Yeah, he just said you are all those things. He just basically said, yes, you have this enhanced capacity to perfectly model and understand exactly what the consequences will be to any action. Forever.
Omnibenevolent. What are the conditions here?
Cop out.
But if you fall short of divine infallibility, then the problem... would persist.
Right. So don't fight the Nazis, because you don't have God infallibility, so you don't really know if they're going to ruin everything in the future, so you can't make your decision. So, yeah, so what? You lose a few Jews, big deal. Is that the logic? What's the logic here? There's no logic here. He's just arguing that no human should ever make a decision. You can't make a decision to go to the store. You can't make a decision to say hello to your neighbor, because you might kill him. So you can't make any decisions. You can't do a damn thing. So why did you write a fucking book? How did you know that this book would be a good thing to do? Did you have omniscience? Did you ask the superhuman intelligence? What did you add? Did you ask AI? Where did you get permission to write this fucking book? All right, where did you get the authority to suggest this and infect human brains with this reasoning and logic? Where did you know it would certainly cause no harm? Your stupid book against harm. How do you know your book against harm wasn't going to cause harm and torture? Where did you justify killing that kid for this stupid book you wrote and got money for? You fucking goddamn mercenary. It was just so bad. So illogical. God, he just turned himself into such a pathetic religious kook.
Yeah. Okay, well,
look, I suppose you could argue that if you just felt very, very, very little short of the divine qualities, then maybe, but you then at least are very much approaching the God scenario of pushing the button. Mm. And so...
We are God. I wish there was some other scenario. I mean, I wish I could point to something else and say, it's their job. That would be so cool. Okay, I'd love to be sitting here right now and I could just say, it's somebody else's job. I'd love to hand it off. I don't want anything to do with any of this crap. Okay, I really don't. I could just sit there and talk about side boob and all kinds of interesting things. I don't need to do this shit. All right, this isn't any fucking goddamn fun. I mean, just amazing, So, yeah, just run away. I mean, just such a coward, such a fucking coward. Sorry to use that. I mean, there's no... He's pissing on his own intellectual property. He's basically just pissed all over it and just said, it's yellow snow, don't eat it. I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. I'm a duplicitous hypocrite. I will make decisions every day that can kill people. And I make them because I don't have a choice. Okay? I don't have the option to, put it in the computer and let the supercomputer process it for 6 hours or 6 days or 6 years before I make my chess moves in my life. I have to make the moves. I don't have a choice not to move. Oh, fuck.
I'm not sure how much that helps. I mean, you're either a human now, or you're, if not God, then very, very close to God. But the God dilemma is not a dilemma that any one of us faces.
Oh, whatever. It just to introduce God into all this talk is just yuck, yuck. All right, so that's enough for today. Got another hunk of it to go. I just don't know where it goes from here. He's basically just said there's no point in making an argument. There's no point in winning at trial because you're just going to sit there after you convicted him and you're going to say, well, are we really sure? I mean, there was DNA and fingerprints and he also confessed and he also told us where all the bodies were and... although there was 764 witnesses, he videotaped the whole thing. I mean, we have all this evidence, But, you know, we're fallible, so I guess we can't do anything, so I guess we'll just let them go free because it doesn't really mean anything that all the evidence indicates. No, that's not good enough. We don't have all the evidence, right? Because, you know, we don't have his shoes. He burned his shoes, you know, and all we have is shoe ashes. So that's not, you know, we're missing a big piece of evidence, his shoe and his tie. You know, he's wearing a tie. And he burned that, so we don't have any of that evidence, so we can't prove he, you know, raped and killed 697 people. Yeah. It's just too ridiculous. Just a pathetically weak, silly argument. The argument from you can't know better. Yeah, you can know better. Oh, fuck. Damn it. All right. So, till the next time and such. I have to hit a button, but it ain't red. Yeah, it's actually blue. It's a blue button. So I'll hit the blue button and say, till the next time and such, where we'll do some more of this and then we'll move on, I suppose. But damn, I'm very used to disappointment, frankly. It's just been so much of it. And so life just seems to be, that's the food of life, is disappointment. You're never going to get anything else but disappointment and disappointment and disappointment. And you got to learn to live on it. But it's a stench. It's a horrible, awful way to have to exist, just constantly being disappointed. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth.